Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
In 1 Timothy 6, our topic today is contentment or destruction, which is really interesting. I think we saw this theme of godliness running through Timothy, and we're going to build on that. But this is quite different for me, and it was really quite special for me to do the preparation as well for this sermon. It convicted me on many places, and just very excited to share this with you. And when we think of this topic, contentment or destruction, I think even when we just take out our phones and the first thing almost that pops up is like an advertisement of something, something that we need. Even if we put on the TV, we pass the billboards, everything in this world is telling us that there's something that you need, something that you need to buy so that you can be more happy. And in a sense, it breeds discontentment. In a way, we say, only if I can have this, then I will be happy. Only if I can have this skin, or maybe this car, or maybe I shouldn't be in this country. Whatever it may be, there's all the time discontentment like blown into your life, and the almost the lure of discontentment, and we should stand firm against it and be content. It's quite difficult. We see last week, Henny started. He taught a lot about teaching and how we should learn in order to teach. But also in that verses that he spoke of, it said that godliness, that these false teachers are saying that godliness is a means to gain. And that gain that false teachers are proclaiming is a sort of a prosperity gospel. Now, to say that when we grow in holiness or when we grow in prosperity, God will give you a lot of stuff, which is false. It's a false gospel. But then we see in this beautiful verses that we'll get to, Paul saying that there is some relationship between godliness and gain when contentment is thrown in there. Okay, that is very important. Godliness must go with being content. Okay, and we'll unpack it nicely. But what is contentment? Let's start with that. Contentment is a sense of satisfaction that arises when we are content with what we have. Okay, and we are not desiring anything more than what we have, which is difficult, We always want to get something new. Something more, Okay, and the secret to contentment does not lie in adding to our possessions, but rather to take away from our desires. Okay, so just keep that in the back of your mind when we think of contentment. It's not to add things to my life to make it better, but rather ask the Lord to take away some of my desires. The results of being discontent is truly destructive. We'll see in this verse, Paul not saying it lightly. He's really punching it and saying that the results of being discontent is absolutely destructive to our lives. And I think it was a few weeks back, Vian also spoke about that part of the widows, and he said that we should be content with food and clothing. Amen. Which is basically impossible for us. We have so many luxuries. Yeah, but we should be content. And it's a heart's position. How is my heart towards what I have? And then maybe just to do a little test before we start. Who of you have thought, what would you do if you win the lotto? Nee? Ons het al allemaal. We have everyone have thought of that. Nee, and that thought, and let me take you on this road. When you think of winning the lotto, you think of, ah, I don't have to work anymore. You know? Ah, I can get that car I want. I can get this, I can get that. And it blows up in our minds, nee? And we miss completely what God wants for us in that season of life because we are consumed about winning the lotto, in a sense, nee? Maybe it's a business deal. Maybe it's a way to make a lot of money. Maybe you see that your business can really grow really fast. And it almost snowballs. And it consumes our minds with what can we get from this life. And that is something that Jesus really speaks against. Né? And we'll get to it in Matthew 6 where he says, do not store up for you in heaven. One day, all of it will burn. There's a story of this guy in New York who commits suicide. He jumps from a bridge. And when they found his body, they found $30,000 in his pockets, which is almost 600,000 rand. And with that, there's a note that says, when I was younger, when I was just a normal guy going to work, I didn't have a lot. I was really happy. But when I became a millionaire, he says, I became infinitely sorrowful. That was his words in his letter. And yeah, we can all agree that, yes, money does not make me happy. We can also see it with this guy. He took his life. He was a millionaire. But why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult then? If we can see that money does not make me happy, why is it so difficult to be content? And often we may think, no, it's actually easy. I am content. But when that job opportunity comes with the salary, with the extra zero, it's a bit different. Eh? The game changes a bit. And my heart longs towards this money or this possessions or whatever it may be. And that is the root of all evil that this verse speaks about. Not money. Money is not the root of all evil. But the desire of riches, the desire of money, the desire to be rich, the uncontentment is the root of all evil, of all kinds of evil. That's what this verse says. So let's jump into this, into this verse, and let's get the Bible here, and you'll see that I'm going to repeat some of this and unpack it in a way. But yeah, let's read it. It's from 1 Timothy 6, from verse 6. Read with me. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. A pang, I also asked, what is a pang? It is a sorrow. It's a grief. It's a really bad state. But we can just read through this verse. It's beautiful. It explains everything. We'll unpack it a bit. So let's start from the beginning. And I want to just continue from this main theme running in Timothy. That's godliness. And that we should pursue godliness. The first part says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. But I just want to focus on godliness in the beginning and just reinstate the importance of godliness. How do we pursue godliness? How do we grow in godliness? And I have this very simple saying, it is to do what Jesus loves. It is to do what his word says. To pursue in godliness is things, small things. Love your husband. Love your wife. Love your children. Read the word of God. Pray. Come together. Eat together. Amen. It's to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. And therefore, we will grow. And when we think of, in light of this theme running of contentment, to profess godliness and to pursue godliness will be really to transform our minds to what the world wants to teach us. Amen. When we see this billboard, you need this. You need this to be happy. We need to transform our minds and say, Jesus is enough for me. Amen. We should be content with food and with clothing. Romans 12 verse 2, which just says, do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And do you renew your mind constantly? Because otherwise, the world will teach you, like Annie shared last week, the world will teach you a bunch of things and that is what you will have. You cannot give anything, give anything else that you have received. And therefore, we need to transform our minds. And just a basic question that I'd like to ask you is your primary pursuit in life to be more godly or to become rich? To be more godly or to become rich? Because some of us will say in our minds, we want to become more godly, but I also, a bit in my heart, I want to become more rich. It's a lack of yes. And that would be nice. And that is the snare of the devil. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with money, like I said. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Amen. It is our hearts towards becoming rich. And in a sense, we idolize this sense, this feeling of getting more money, of getting rich, of becoming more rich. Okay. Really ask ourselves, is it my own ambitions that leads me or is it God that leads me? Because you will be led by one of the two. You will either be led by yourself, becoming more rich. That's what yourself will want to do all the time. Paul is also saying, I'm paraphrasing it a bit, but I'm struggling. My flesh is just going in this one direction and the spirit is saying something different. And your flesh will just desire more and more and more into ruin and destruction. Who are you following? Are you pursuing godliness or wealth? Okay, so that is the godliness part. That's point number one. We have five points today. The second one is we should learn to be content. Okay, and this is where this balance comes in when we think of contentment and godliness. These two cannot be separated. It won't work. Let me explain it. If you are only godly and not content, you are not really godly. Okay? It's quite simple, man. When you are content and not godly, you can be a monk, sitting on a hill, being very content with what you have, but not knowing Jesus your Savior. Okay. So you cannot have the one without the other. When we have a discontent in life, that will consume you. You won't be godly. You cannot grow in your godliness if that is your God. Okay, that is what Jesus says. You must choose between God and mammon, or the God of money. And then this big question then, how do I know whether I am content? Now, firstly, we can ask the Holy Spirit. And you can ask, Lord, help me, show me, am I content? Show me the areas in which I struggle to surrender to you because it's something that I still like to hold on to. And then secondly, let me ask you a few questions. Maybe just evaluate your life a bit. And the first thing that I'd like to ask is, do you need to shop all the time? There's Take a Lot apps and Alibaba and Checkers and everything. And do you feel like there's a desire in your heart to shop all the time? Even if you go into Checkers, you're not even in on an app. You go there, your goal is to buy bread and milk. You come out there, your whole trolley is full. Nah? How does that work? It's a discontentment. Nah? I need this also, I need this also. I know that I only need bread and milk because I was before my fridge. I know that is what I wanted to do. And then when I came out of Checkers, I had everything, né? Okay, and it's important. And it starts small. It starts subtle with small things. And I would like you to rip out that root or that little sin, if you call it little. It starts small. It starts with small discontentments in our lives. And then it grows into big decisions, into harmful decisions, into destruction. Second question that I'd like to ask you, and I'll explain it a bit, it may sound a bit harsh at the beginning, is do you look at your salary slip when you want to apply for a new job? Let's say you want a new job, do you look at the salary? And the reason I'm asking is if the main reason you're moving a job is because of your salary, it's the wrong reason. Okay, God wants to lead us. He wants to use us in different places, in different spaces. We need to ask the Lord, like we said a while ago, I think 8 hours of your day is spent at work. There's a certain place God wants you to minister. It's important to ask the Lord, where should I work? And then it's great, yes. Obviously, it comes with a salary, and definitely be grateful for that. And also, I understand that you need to look at it. Like, I'm not saying forget about it. Definitely, you need to look at it, and you need to trust the Lord, and make sure that it is enough for what your basic needs is, definitely. But if that is the main reason you move a job, it's the wrong reason. And we've seen, and I've just seen lives, just really, really, really sad, taking sad avenues, destructive avenues because of people making a move because of money, because of a discontentment. And test your heart, once again, test your heart. Thirdly, how much value do you put and add to your earthly possessions? And I want to tell you a story. When we were young kids, we were going and we were playing at my friend's house, and his dad always had this massive issue if we play, amongst these golf clubs or near his car, or even if we break a cup, it was havoc, he was really, really lashing at us and really, really angry. And you can now, when I think back, can really think that he placed a lot of value to small things, to small possessions, which is not needed. Amen. And do you add a lot of value to things? And I'm not saying you shouldn't take good care of your things. Obviously, we should be stewards. But are you really sad when someone steals something from you? Because it shouldn't determine how happy or how sad your life is. Amen. Jesus says a few times, he says, riches in heaven, not riches on earth. Okay, and why is it so difficult? We think of Satan that tempted Eve. Do you think Eve lacked anything? No. Although she went for the fruit, do you think she was hungry? No, there was lots of fruit. There was lots of things to eat. Eve definitely were not hungry. And sometimes we are not hungry, but we still fall for that thing. Whatever the Satan brings to us, he likes to wave carrots before our noses and say, try this, this will make you happy, try this, this will make you happier. It's difficult. We should transform our minds. Okay, second point, why is it so difficult? Another reason is because earthly possessions cannot bring you contentment. So you will get earthly possessions until you are blue. You will still be discontent. Like this guy. jumping off a bridge with millions in the bank. It will never stop. And we lack to go to the one that can truly give life. Amen. We just don't go to God. We just don't go to Jesus. I think of the amount of time that I spend on my phone and on my laptop in a week, and the amount of time I spent with God. Then I'm like, okay, that's why maybe I feel a bit anxious or discontent. We struggle to go to the one that truly gives life, that truly brings contentment. Amen. Another reason why it's difficult is when you do not believe that God is good and He will give good things, you will be discontent. When you don't truly believe in His sovereignty, when you don't truly believe in His sufficiency, you will be discontent. It's almost if my small daughter doubts that I will give her good things, she will be discontent because she will feel there's stuff that my dad is not giving me that's good. It's the same. It's the same with God. We need to really believe that God is giving us what we need. And I want to read us two verses. The one is Hebrews 13 verse 5. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Are you fully relying on God? He is my helper. He is the one that looks after me. Not some company or some man or some people I put my faith in, but God. And do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you will be discontent. You will feel that God is not giving me what I need. As well as His sovereignty in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And this good does not mean riches. Let me just tell you that. Don't misread this verse. When it says good, God is always thinking of your eternal life. He's thinking of your growth. He's not thinking of your comfort. Okay, when we look at Paul sitting in a prison, I'm sure he, now and then he got a small piece of bread, but that's basically it. God is more interested in our growth. And it doesn't mean that we will be in prison and will lack, but God promises that He will provide for us. And we must believe that He wants the best for you, for your eternal life. Otherwise, you will struggle with contentment. It's an easy equation, okay? God gives. He's the one that rules over everything. And lastly, how to break contentment or how to be more content is to give thanks for what we have. We went on this Zimbabwe mission, I think it was 4 or 5 or a long time ago, and I just saw the poverty. I just saw how people lived there. And I'm just so grateful for what we have. If I think back of that, I'm just so grateful. If I think of what my friend has, I'm less grateful. So be careful. Yeah? Be careful to think what Stephen has is better than what I have. Yeah? Praise Him. Rejoice. Be glad in what God gives to us. Okay, that's contentment. Let's move to point number 3 and verse 7. Develop an eternal perspective. It says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. And it's so basic. It's like, it's like, wow, yeah, I remember I cannot take anything with me. So why do we want to gather? Beautiful when Jesus speaks of the birds in the air. He says, they don't store. They don't build a bunch of things and store everything in there because I will provide for them. Why do we do the same? We will just go on and on and on seeking more. It is Matthew 6 verse 19 to 20 and I just want to read it to us. It says, do not accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth. where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But accumulate for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And the Bible says a few things about our hearts. It says in Proverbs 4, we said it earlier in the year, but guard your heart, for everything flows from it. That means if my treasure is on earth, that everything that I do will flow from it. I will make decisions in a way to gain earthly. I will probably steal, I will probably lie, destructive, like this verse says, the verse 9 says. And we think, I think Jesus' logic was we shouldn't store on this earth because it's temporary and it doesn't last. Why do we store? We cannot take anything with. It's actually so simple. We should live for the eternal life. We should live for Jesus. As Nicola Antony Rika said, He is worthy of it all. He should deserve all the glory. That means our finances as well. And the way we see contentment. Okay, point number 4 and verse number 8. It says, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. And the point is, learn to live simply. A simple life. I think this person that committed suicide in New York, when he said that he was happy, he had an ordinary job, he had a simple life. I don't know if he knew God, but if he knew God, there is great gain in contentment. Okay? We see in Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Amen. God will provide for you. You need to trust that what He gives is enough. And He does not promise luxuries. He promises necessities, which is often difficult for us to grasp, because we struggle to let go of luxury. We want luxury. And how can we live more simply? The point is, learn to live more simply. I think the first thing that we can do is distinguish between what we need and what we want. When you go into Checkers, what do you need? What do you want? Distinguish between those two things. And it's difficult for us. If you can reasonably survive without it, then it's not needed. But I want to use this very simple example of a jean. You wear. When do you buy a new jean? Because let's say this jean was torn, it wouldn't look great. If I stand in front here with my torn jean. But then there's a good reason I need a new jean. Okay, so maybe you can survive without something and still need it, but it's important to test your heart. I don't want to give you too much grace here. Now, we must test our hearts. Do we really need it? Does it fulfill the reason I bought it in the first place, maybe? Do I need it? How will it bring God glory? Bring God glory if I look neat in front here and preach to you guys. Amen. How does it bring God glory? It says that we need clothing. Okay, and I think you don't need to think about it every time you buy something new, but at least think about it once. Now, before you go and buy something, just think about it, and then that's okay after. Okay. How can we learn to live more simply? Point number 2, we should practice sacrifice, which is difficult sometimes. It means to offer some of our luxuries, When someone comes to my gate and maybe asks for money and I give him a bag of apples or a bag of bread, there's not really sacrifice in that. I can afford a lot of apples. And I think when we want to get really healed of a love for money, it needs to take some of our luxury. Maybe some of our time, but some of our luxury. And I'm not saying go and sell your car and try to run every day or something like that. Be careful what you do. But trust the Lord to show you how to give and really get rid of that love for money or that love for things or whatever it may be. Like I said, the secret to contentment does not lie in adding, but taking away of our desires. Not necessarily our possessions, that also, but our desires. What do you desire? Lord, help me so that I can leave that destructive desire. Amen. And thirdly, how can we learn to live more simply? We should spend less than what we earn. It sounds like a simple equation, but you'll be surprised. People struggle to do the simple math. I see people buy on loan accounts clothing that Jesus said, I will provide for you. They buy with money they don't have. That is really discontent. I'm not saying if you do it, you're from hell. I just want you to repent of it. No, I see even people hobbies. Let's say you take a bicycle. People buy those things on loans because they want it, and they want it now. It's a discontented heart. Now or never. I think of my little daughter. She, especially when you eat something and we braai and something, and there's like this bag of chips. It's like chippies, chippies, I want chippies, I want chippies. And then it goes over into a tantrum and we need to discipline. And I think sometimes we are the same. We want that thing and we want it now, and we tantrum. And we make loans. And it goes over into destructive decisions. A destructive way of life, because we are discontent. We want that thing and we want it now. We don't want to wait. It's destructive. Be careful. The enemy works on rushed. He likes to rush us. We need to make a decision now. I've made many mistakes. Personally, it's never a good thing to rush and to buy something. We can even walk into a shop and we'll convince ourselves that I need that thing now. I didn't need it when I walked in there, but I need it now. And it is it's really a big danger. And this brings us to our last point. It says, recognize the dangers of desiring wealth. Or desiring riches, our fifth point. And it's these two last verses, which I mentioned a lot of times. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires. A senseless and a harmful desire. Senseless is it doesn't make sense. You fall into, you have a desire that does not make sense. That's how far Satan can get us to do stuff. A senseless and a harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving for money, this craving, that some have wandered away from the faith. They left Jesus because of this craving. And pierced themselves with many sorrows, with many pangs, with many griefs. They are sad. They are infinitely sorrowful. I've seen it a lot of people, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart if people want to follow money. A snare is something you fall into, you cannot get out. It's like catching an animal. We fall into a snare. We cannot get out of it. I'm consumed with this idea of making more money, getting more possessions, getting out of this country maybe. I don't know how it looks like for you, but it's just so important to be cautious. Protect your heart. Recognize the dangers. People have wandered away from the faith. They gave up their soul for money. I really want that thing and I really want it now. It's so dangerous. If we read this verse which says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils," I thought, wow, I don't think Paul had it right. It cannot be all kinds of evils. I actually doubted it. I'm like, how is it possible? And I just took the Ten Commandments and I see how that can influence the way we obey the law. We are not under the law, but it gives us a good idea. Just to think of the first commandment, if you love money, it says you shall have no other gods before me. Money is a god. Second commandment, you shall not make yourself an idol. Greed, nay, we make an idol of what we can get. We shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Nay, how many people have not used God's name in vain for money because they lost something? Honor your father and mother, family separated because of money. Murder, adultery, marriages broke because of the love for money, more of this. Lying, bearing false witness, coveting, I want that. Not keeping the Sabbath holy, never time to rest, always busy with some money-making scheme, eh? Money and the love for money is so destructive. Amen. And we should be cautious when it comes to that. And it's so evident when we look at the young man, the rich young man, when it comes to Jesus. It's like, I've done all of this thing, Jesus. How can I be perfect? And he says, go and sell everything you have. And you will be. And he could not. Maybe that's something we should ask ourselves. Will we be able to sell our stuff and follow Jesus if that is what he asks? We have to choose the love for God or the love for money. I want to throw us up these prayer points and I just want to just discuss them before we dive into them and pray about them. But the first one is I want you to reflect. Are you content with what you have? And this is a really broad term. To be content in all of life is a broad term. There's a lot of areas that we can need healing. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any area in which I maybe need some healing or maybe I'm a bit discontent? Maybe it's only groceries at Checkers. It's still important. Don't neglect the small things. Secondly, how can you live more simply? That's quite difficult because we like to add to our luxuries. We even have plans as we sit here. Each one of us have some plans. We want this. We want to add this to the house. And we want to have this new car by the end of this year. And that is great. And maybe that is what God wants. But really ask him if that is what he wants. How can that bring him glory? It's really important. It's really important. We live for him. We do not live for ourselves. And then thirdly, is there love for money in your heart? Is there any love for money? I want more. Maybe there's a sense of, I want something and I really want it now. It's okay to feel that way, but it's not okay to stay that way. Ask the Lord. Lord, help me. Take away this desire of my heart. So I'm just going to give us a minute or two. I just want us to sit there. Just close your eyes. Just ask the Lord, is there anything true of this in my heart? Is there anything true about this? Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you come and reveal to us the idols that we cling to so quickly, Lord, so fast. We know that it is so destructive, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you help us to repent, Lord. We pray that you help us to identify those areas. It is so quickly that we live for ourselves and forget, Lord, to live for you. We want to live for you, Lord. Like this, the song said, it's for you and through you and everything. Everything is for you. The way we dress, the way we buy groceries, the way we buy cars, the way we do business. Lord, it's all for you and for your glory. And help us that we may not forget that. Help us that we may not forget that.